Welcome to episode 249 of the Finger Guns Podcast. My name is Roscoe. How are you doing today? Here's a great big hug if you need it. Yeah, that felt good. Joining me this week is Miles Thompson.
Hello there, dear Roscoe.
Hello there.
Hello there.
How are we?
I'm good, thank you. My cat currently has the zoomies, so apologies. I can't speak. I apologize, or my apologies, either or will work, if the noise comes through in the background, but she's very cute, so we'll allow it.
How is your kitty? All good?
She loves life. Honestly, she's like my shadow. I joked with Cat before because Cat tried to feed her some banana bread and she wouldn't take it from Cat. So I went over and gave her some. She was like, yes, I will take this. Thank you. And I was like, yes. But yeah, she's doing very well. And she's lovely to have around. It would be weird not having her around now. So she's kind of just settled in part of the furniture. It's lovely.
Oh, that's lovely. That's really nice. I guess that's the work from home stuff, is it? Just the cat's all yours, basically.
She just sleeps on the bed throughout the entire day while I'm working, almost like mocking me by the fact that she can just sleep the entire time I have to be at work. And then just between my appointments and stuff, I just go in and give her a little pet and she wakes up begrudgingly and then she'll take the pets and then I leave and then she goes back to sleep. So she loves life.
What a life.
Honestly, cats have it the right way. Like, they got it down to a fine art.
Amazing. Talking of cats. Hey, cat.
Hello.
How's it going, pal? My favorite cat.
Yay! It's going well. We are 1 week away from the big 250. How flippin' exciting is that?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh my god. It's crazy.
Oh my god. It is crazy.
This is the weird thing. This podcast started, right? I can't believe this. This podcast started in 2017.
Right? Wow.
It's been going all this time.
Wow.
And yeah, and I can't quite believe we're actually here.
Crazy times, crazy times.
And yeah, the lineup has changed somewhat, but.
Somewhat, hey, yeah.
I'm still here. I'm like Keenan Thompson on SNL. Dude. I'm just never leaving.
Oh, and I'm just Kat, you know?
Yeah.
Mentally ill and I'm on. No, I'm kidding. I'm not really mentally ill on drugs. Neither of those things. But that song does slap from SNL, the I'm Just Ken version from Pete Davidson.
It does. It does.
How are you, Sir Roscoe?
Very good. I've had a lovely weekend.
Oh,
cute. I went up north.
Did you?
I did. Well, kind of. I went up north to me anyway. I went up north.
I was going to say, like, it's actually the Midlands and you're just offending a whole location of people I fall into that trap far too many times in Stoke.
Yeah, I went to Northampton.
Fine.
Which
is the Northampton and the Midlands. I'm literally going to Google that right now.
I mean, it's not Southampton, is it? So, you know.
You're right. And it's not Midlands Hampton. So,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. If you didn't know, listen, I am based in Somerset, so everything is north to me.
Yes, above Bristol is north. Yes, Northampton is considered East Midlands, so north to us, but not actually north. We don't want to offend anybody.
There's a lot of directions in that. North is considered East Mid. That's very confusing.
Basically, it can't fucking decide, okay?
No idea what this was trying to be.
It's confused, okay? It's bi-curious. We just need to respect it.
It's not a phase, Mom. It's fine. No, I had a really lovely time. I met the family. I met the kids, met the dogs. They were lovely. The weekend is always bettered, having dogs around, I think. And it was just a really, really nice weekend. Hell on earth coming home because there was train delays and train cancellations and whatnot. And you wonder what the hell you pay for when you pay these obscene train prices. But I got home. That was the important thing. I made my way home somehow via 4 trains instead of 1, which I'd planned. But there we are. Such is life. But it's okay. I'm home now, safe and sound, doing the 249th podcast with my bros. So it's awesome. Should we do Game of the Week? Miles, let's go from you. What are your Game of the Weeks? Because there's normally more than one.
I've only got one this time, Roscoe.
My goodness.
I don't want to play anything else right now except for Dave.
Sea of Thieves closed beta. Oh.
I mean, it involves water and diving.
I suppose it does.
Just a dude named Dave.
A dude named Dave.
And no Krakens that I've come across just yet, anyway.
I see.
This game is unbelievable, Roscoe. I don't know how this managed to slip past my radar. So, like, I knew of it when Toby reviewed it for the PC like 10 months ago. I didn't appreciate how fucking wonderful this game is. It is incredible, genuinely. I have done nothing but play this game since we got it for review. And I'm about 20, 25 hours in, and
What?
almost, and Kat can attest to this, almost every kind of 10 to 20 minutes, I was going, how does this game keep adding more things? And I'd be like, that's got to be it, surely. And they were like, hey, there's a new mini game. And I was like, how? How do you still have more stuff to do? But to break it down, so Day of the Diver is like a kind of mix of like a roguelite, where you dive into the sea and you catch some fish and then you use that in order to find your sushi bar. Sounds like a really straightforward concept, and it is. And it's just like a really good game at masquerading how much depth there is to it. Clever that, because, you know, sea depth and stuff.
Yay!
So you go down, you catch some fish. The further down into the depths that you go, the more dangerous the fish get, but the better quality they are. So you want to go further and further down to complete missions. And the story's really funny. It's really kind of pixel art style, but it's really vibrant. Just fun. Like, the cutscenes are really over the top. You've got Banjo like doing all these crazy tricks, like some kind of like kung fu montage as he's like cutting sushi and upgrading his sushi dishes. The humor is on point. It makes me chuckle almost every time there's a bit of dialogue going on. The characters are super fun. It's got like a really nice just story flow to it, and the missions are really kind of varied and exciting. There are boss battles, which I don't even understand how they've managed to make them so varied. And that's just the roguelike part of it. And then you've got all these fish, and you get a farm, and you get a fishery where you can store the eggs for fish so that you can grow more fish to then use them for your restaurant. And then you have to go and actually manage the restaurant. So you hire staff and you deal with the service of like giving customers food. You have to set the prices, set the menu, this kind of stuff. It is wild. This game is like two incredible games rolled into one. And then it just throws like another 10 mini games that are also incredibly good in and of their own right into this game as well. And I can't believe this game was 17 quid on Steam. I'm actually baffled. They are criminally underpricing themselves for how much game you get out of this. It's just wonderful. There are references to other games. The art style is amazing. The way it just keeps progressing as you go through different areas and find new fish and get killed by a shark for the 19th time when you're carrying loads of cool gear is really fun and annoying. And I don't think I've had this much fun with a roguelike game since Hades. And we obviously all know my love of Hades. So the fact that it's even being discussed on that level shows how much I adore this game. It's phenomenal. I encourage everybody to play it. I think there is not a person on this earth who would have a bad time or not have a smile on their face playing this game. I gave it a 10 out of 10, spoiler alert, in my review, which you can go read if you want to. And I have only ever given two other 10 out of 10s. One was Neon White and the other one was Saturnalia. So it's right up there. It's incredible. Toby only gave it a
Well,
9, which I totally get it. Fair enough. Not arguing against his reasoning for that. But
coward.
now I was like, I'm all in. I've got nothing. There is nothing I don't like about this game. There is nothing that has annoyed me except for when I was stupid myself. And I was like, there's nothing bad about it. It's just a masterclass of video game design. So 10 out of
Well.
10. Everyone should play it.
Holy shit.
It's been a little while. Gone from Planet Zoo like 2 weeks ago to Day of the Diver.
It lands on Tuesday, doesn't it? Or the day that this pod goes up.
Yes,
The
it'll be
16th, I
available
believe.
today.
Yeah. Yeah, so go get it on PlayStation. Or any
Yes.
console. I think it's everywhere now, isn't
Honestly, get it on. It's coming to Xbox, I think, later in the year it's planned for, but
it?
otherwise, you can get it on Switch and PC. It doesn't matter where you play it. You're going to have an amazing time. It doesn't matter. Just get it wherever you can.
Indeed. Absolutely. Man, your game of the year is going to be tough this year, isn't it?
Honestly, I'm already struggling. Like,
It's only April.
if Knights in Tight Spaces comes out this year, I'm screwed, Roscoe. I don't know what to do. I'm done.
Okay. Kat, what be your game of the week, my friend?
I'm gonna make it really easy for
All
you.
right. Okay, cool. I love it.
I'm gonna say Dave the
Hey. Woo!
Hey!
Everybody's on the Dave dive.
Everybody is
Everybody
on
was
the
Dave
Dave the
diving.
Diving. Ha! But actually, to be fair, speaking of songs, we do have a little confession, Ross, actually. And you
Oh.
might notice your Spotify views go up. Because you know your infamous song Jess the Time Bomb.
Yes, the soundbomb available now on
We've
all digital music stores. Yes.
well, we've done a rather shitty cover because we don't want to do injustice to your cover. But instead of Jess the Time Bomb, we've said Dave the Diver, and every time we've played it, That's what we've sung.
Oh my god.
It really suits. It does fit. And we
it
hope you're
lives
not
in my
offended
head
because it's
rent-free.
said in much love. And actually, your song's been in our head all fucking week.
You can't say things like that. My ego is big enough.
Can you do us maybe like a in your own imagination what that would sound like? And can we check if it's the same in our head?
Just a sign bomb. What is the chorus? It's all the same every day. I love the game. I hear your name. Dave the Diver.
Dave the Diver.
That's exactly
honestly,
that. Every
that's
time we load up the
exactly
game.
What we've been fucking doing. We're going to play. We're like, Dave the Diver. Like, we've been fucking hamming it up in our front room. Even got Josh on it. We've been singing that down the fucking party to him. So if you've noticed, Spotify views go up. That was us.
I Not did there. Actually notice they've gone up quite weirdly. Like they've kind of doubled, and I don't really know how that happens.
We need a Dave the Diver cover now.
That much, but like, yeah,
we've
added a few.
Yeah. Well, I am honoured and touched.
Yeah. And so now every time you play Dave the Diver, I really need you to sing it in your own song. So
yeah, it's a tradition now.
That's
it's got to be
a heads
done.
Up.
I am going to buy it tomorrow. So yeah, I will.
But yeah, that's my game of the week. I completely concur. Me and Miles were kind of chatting, and Miles was like, finding it really hard not to give it a 10. I don't know what I don't like about it. And I was like, give it a fucking 10, bro. It's fucking worthy of it. Because I think as well, when you hear a game and it has got a lot of like backing, you think there's like two things that go through your head. If like, am I going to be doing this game a bit of an injustice if I don't like it? And that's always like an anxiety that, you know, the whole world loves it. And you're like, well, this game's shit. But then there's the, okay, but actually when you find that the game is worth every single compliment that it's given, that's a whole entirely different story. Because at first I didn't think that Mars liked it because he kept being like, for fuck's sake. And I was like, it sounds like you're not enjoying Dave the Diver as much as I do. Because I have it on Steam. And he was like, no, I'm just annoyed at myself because the game's really good. It's just, I'm really bad at it. And that's, that soon dissipated. So yeah, Dave the Diver, it's got so much in it. Like the game's never ending. Like I'm like 15 hours in and there's still new shit that's coming up every single time. There's new mini games. It's just a cool game. It's so, so good. They've thrown everything at it, but not in a way that feels like a cheesecake with too many flavors. So yeah.
Good well, stuff. There you go. That is Dave the Diver. available this week on PlayStation. Very exciting. Very exciting. I love that. Game of the Week is just same game. That's awesome. Well, what's my Game of the Week? My Game of the Week is Dave the Diver. No, it's not.
No, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't even be Dave the Diver. It'd be like, Dave the Diver.
Dave the Diver. If I ever perform it live,
like
that's what I'm going
to
have to do now.
Your voice. I'm adding the accidental husk. I really go for the brumph. I'm going for like the brumph at the back of my throat. I'm like, Dave the Diver. Like, I'm really going for it. But then you're like singing all like harmoniously. So fuck you for that.
Wow. You're giving it that Dave Grohl kind of growl at the back. You know?
Yeah, you got to. It's called Dave. He's a diver, you know?
It's true.
Anyway, what is your game of the week, good sir?
My game of the week is, bizarrely, the Sea of Thieves closed beta on PlayStation. I, in my spare time, which I haven't had a lot of this weekend, I've booted up Remote Play, and I have been asking my PlayStation to boot up Sea of Thieves, because this weekend was the only beta available to check out. And I thought, oh no, I'm in the north kind of for the weekend. But I did have a little bit of time to check it out. And so far, so very, very good. Sea of Thieves is always lovely to jump into when you can be bothered to deal with its annoying mechanics. Don't tell you anything. And now you have to figure out everything yourself. But when once you've got your head around that, I've been playing Sea of Thieves for a few years now, on and off. And it was nice to jump in. And it was so nice to jump in on PlayStation. Oh my god, it's very weird seeing the Rare logo pop up on a PlayStation game, seeing the Xbox logo pop up on a PlayStation game, and then CFD just appearing. And it's like, wow, this is just a brave new world that we live in all of a sudden. And so far, so good. I'm really enjoying it. It's beautiful, as CFD's always has been. Lovely to walk around and to explore. Some of the missions I took on were tough as nails, as they always have been. It's always a lot more fun, you know, with a crew, with a few more people, as most games of this type normally are. But it is fun to bop around yourself as well and see what kind of shenanigans you can get up to. And at the moment, it's looking really, really nice. And I am quite excited to jump in on PlayStation and get those trophies. I've noticed that there is cross progression. So everything I've done so far on the Xbox version of Sea of Thieves, I can now continue that on the PlayStation 1, which is fantastic. Which means a bunch of trophies are just going to pop and pop and pop when I load up, which is going to be lovely. I'm really going to go for it on the PlayStation, I think, because I think that is the right place for it to kind of be. And I'm going to have fun exploring the seven seas with probably myself for the time being, but I'm sure. I think Sean might jump on if I'm lucky. If I'm really lucky, he might have a little game of Sea of Thieves with Sean also. But yeah, had a great time with Sea of Thieves. And,
I might give it a go. I'm not completely nice. Against it. My brother was like, you need to get Sea of Thieves. It's amazing. You've always spoken quite highly of it. So, yeah.
Well, lovely stuff. Well, we'll see. Mother of Finger Guns crew taking down all the nasties that we find in the Sea of Thieves world together. That would be quite fun. Sea of Thieves looking great on PlayStation. Comes out in the 26th, I think, about 10 days' time. So, look out for it if you haven't done so already. All right, then. It is time for the penultimate. I say penultimate. It isn't the penultimate one, but I say it's the penultimate quiz to the Grandmaster Master Massive quiz that I'm assuming Miles has taken days off work to put together for next week.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's been a month in the making. It hasn't really. I will make a colossal one, though, just for the buns. But there was a bit of a Freudian wishful thinking from you there by saying it was the penultimate screenshot one, I'm assuming you were going to say.
No.
Miles. No, never. You wouldn't do that.
No, you silly. You see.
Of course not. You are lucky, though, because I am starting to get to the point where I'm struggling to think of more to do. So it might be on the horizon that you're finally liberated from the screenshot quiz. Maybe. Maybe.
No. Think of the listeners.
Hey, the ones that play along will be sad. They'll be sad.
Think of Lindsay.
I'm sorry, Lindsay. I'm trying to keep it going as long as I can. I'll do my best. But yes, it is reaching the point of saturation now. So we might have to move on to a new idea next. Maybe. Ooh.
How exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that in the ether as that. Anyway, are we ready for another screenshot quiz? Because it is another one.
I'm ready as the reigning champ.
I've been talking to my finger. We're just gonna click whatever the fuck we see. I'm going to do like a Ross.
Yeah. This is going to be a very
Josh isn't here to, like,
quiz.
Quote-unquote win it. Fuck him.
Yeah, Josh won it last week. So, you know, it's nice that he's giving up the mantle for this week.
So kind.
I won it last week.
So generous of him.
I won it last week!
Listen, Josh has won all of them. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know what? The day that joke ends, it won't be soon enough.
Yeah. I'm not going to let it end, to be honest. I quite just enjoy it. Anyway, number one, are we ready?
Yeah. Sure.
Go. Oh, hello.
Hang on.
Kat's already there. Go on, Kat.
Dave the Diver!
It's Dave the Diver.
Come on!
I just had to. I'm sorry. I had to. I love this game. It's too good. No, games don't do this to me normally. So, yes, well done. Number two.
Games ain't do this to me normally.
Oh, Kat, you're ahead of Frosco on that one.
So that is the PC Aladdin Disney. Disney's Aladdin.
I mean, you even got the platform too, but I would have just taken Disney's Aladdin, so I'll give you the point.
Lion King one is bullshit hard, just FYI.
I'm pretty sure any game from that era is just bullshit hard, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not that I would know. I was a bumpkin. Number three. Oh, Roscoe.
Oh, damn it.
I'm going to go with Red Dead Redemption 2.
It is not Red Dead Redemption 2, I'm afraid, Roscoe. Yeah.
Is that Ghost of Tsushima?
It is Ghost of Tsushima. Well done.
Oh, fuck.
I know. I did pick a slightly harder one because some of them are like so obvious. I was like, okay.
To be fair, when you said Red Dead, I was like, damn, I was way off.
It's the skybox that's Red Dead, isn't it, Roscoe? Yeah. It's just got like the same like hue.
It does, yeah.
Number four. Oh, Kat, you're in there again.
That is The Last of Us. Two.
It is The Last of Us 2. Well done.
Ooh!
You were very close. I thought you weren't going to do it there.
Tie. You know, like, how much of this game can it be? Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm glad.
The superior that. Last of Us.
Well, this was my favourite part of the game because nothing had happened yet. number five.
I feel like I've been ganged up on.
Roscoe.
Oh, fuck me.
That's not the answer. I can't confirm that.
I thought it was... Is it Manhunt?
I'm going to give you a chance. I need to know which one. You've got to be specific on this
oh,
one.
Oh, God! Two.
It is Manhunt 2. Well done.
Nice. Well done.
That was a tough one, to be fair.
I've given away all my tricks. Now Kat's destroying me.
You're back on the board.
My,
you still got
me
time.
And my finger had a fucking chat earlier.
I don't need to know such things.
Alrighty, number six. Oh, Kat.
What's his fucking name? His name's like fucking ukulele, some fucking shit. What is his name?
I need the specific correct name.
Piss off. I can see the cover. Oh my god. Oh my god. I have no idea.
Gonna have to count you
that's
down.
Gonna have really bothered me.
Ukulele,
not ukulele. Shot cop. Oh, fuck's sake.
Shot
okay,
cop,
crack on.
Did you say?
I don't know.
Oh my god. I'm impressive.
It's gonna really
Roscoe,
me.
See us through.
It's the instrument ukulele.
It is.
What was it actually just ukulele?
Yes, yeah. You were close. You were so close.
Fuck me in the ass. Fuck's sake. I didn't know if it was like, oh, do you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm just gonna take the L.
Yeah, just ride with it. You were very close, to be fair. Yeah. You almost had it. Number seven. Roscoe.
Kane and Lynch. Don't even say
answer?
Which
is that your
one
final answer?
Kane and Lynch 2.
Is it which one's your final answer?
Kane and Lynch 2.
It is Kane and Lynch 2. Well done. number 8. This is a tough one, this. Oh, Roscoe.
I don't know.
I did say it was a tough
what
one.
What the fuck?
Knights in Tight Spaces.
I love that, but no, I'm afraid not. It is not Knights in Tight Spaces. Kat?
Is that Dragon's Dogma?
No, it is not
Dragon's
Dogma.
Is it Inquisition? Is it Dragon Age?
Which,
fuck
what's
you.
What's your final answer going to be here? Like, you're
right,
saying
wait. My final answer is Dragon Age Inquisition.
It is Dragon Age Inquisition,
oh,
to be fair.
Fuck, no way!
When you went for Dragon's Dogma, I was like, I see where you're on the right lines, but no. Well done. Good
well
answer.
Done. Well done. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Number nine.
What the fuck is that?
Roscoe.
Alien Isolation.
It is Alien Isolation.
Nice.
I don't want to put any pressure on, but Roscoe, if you
no.
get the next point, you take it to a
tiebreak. No, I've done so well. Oh,
Kat's currently on 5 points. Roscoe, you're on 4. There's only one question left.
Oh, God, this is it.
This is it. This is the moment now. Are we ready?
Right. Yeah. I suppose so.
Go. Oh my god, Kat, you were first.
That's Five Nights at Freddy's.
It is Five Nights at Freddy's. Well done. Woo! That was squeaky bum time.
I don't know
what if you can hear my chair sneaking, it's because I'm having a little dance. I feel like it's been quite a while since I've won a quiz, so a good like month or so.
That was a good win, to be fair. That was a really close like run contest. That was good fun.
Yeah, thank you.
So well done. You won with 6 points. Roscoe, you came in second with 4 points. So a good quiz.
That was a good quiz. Meaty quiz that. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks.
It's a shame you didn't win it last week, because otherwise that would have been a nice...
Son of a bitch. Well done, Kat. That was a valiant effort.
Thank you.
The Dragon Age won it, I think. Dragon Age Inquisition won it.
Though. Right. Okay, we just need to take the W because every time I win, there's always something. There's always like, wow.
No, that was a compliment.
All the games. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll take it.
That was a compliment saying your Dragon Age guess was the thing that won you the game, I think.
Yes, yeah, it did kind of carry it through in the end, but it was like a very well.
I mean, and the other 5 points, but yeah, I know what you mean. Thank you. That was just like pure whim. I was like, what the fuck kind of characters look like that? I knew it wasn't Baldur's Gate because there wasn't enough. There wasn't Astarion in there. There wasn't anybody interesting to look at. So,
you're joking. Yeah. Iron Bull is in that picture. That guy is iconic.
Yeah, he looks cracking, to be fair. It's probably a lot more interesting than the Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 3 characters.
Ooh.
Triggering!
Ooh. Claims. To be fair, it was the 2014 claims. Game of the Year, so, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I am happy.
Another screenshot quiz, and you have a smile on your face, as always.
Love it.
Love it, babes.
Anyway. Should we get to the news?
Oh, no.
I mean, there's not a lot, but we're going to go through it anyway. This week, you may have known a couple of weeks ago, we went through the nominations for the 2024 BAFTA Game Awards. Well, they happened this week, and we have all the winners here. We're going to go through them one by one. That's probably why we haven't got much news this week, because this normally takes a little while. But here we go. So we're going to do it alphabetically, which is quite nice. Animation. From Alan Wake 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Hogwarts Legacy, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and Super Mario Bros. Wonder. The winner was Hi-Fi Rush.
Yay.
We feel good about this one.
Basically, if Hi-Fi Rush was nominated for something, we basically said we wanted it to win. So, yes, very happy with that.
Fair dues. Artistic achievement. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Cocoon, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 14, I think. No, 16, sorry. I can't read running numerals. I was trying to work it out in my head. And Hi-Fi Rush went to Alan Wake 2.
Hi-Fi Rush didn't win.
Boo.
But we like Alan Wake 2. Well, other people liked Alan Wake 2.
Some people did.
Yeah, I sadly didn't, but other people
did. A lot of people did, to be fair.
A lot of people did. I was definitely in the minority on that one.
Audio achievement. Alan Wake 2, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3. Boo.
Boo.
Hi-Fi Rush, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Marvel Spider-Man 2 and Star Wars Jedi Survivor. The winner was Alan Wake 2.
Should have been Final Fantasy 16.
It wasn't even nominated, was it? Shocking.
I can't believe that. It was snubbed for that one.
Snubbed, I agree. But the audio in Alan Wake 2 was pretty sick. Let's be honest.
It was all right.
Best game? This is going to go straight here because it's all alphabetized. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Dave the Diver. Sorry, Dave the Diver! The Legend, I'm doing a harmonizing now. Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Best game went to Baldur's Gate 3. Kat, how do you feel?
I was going to say, should we let Kat do this one?
Yeah.
You know what? Fine. This is the thing, I'm very proud of the series' achievements. I would argue that I think that if it even hadn't been Baldur's Gate, that it would have still won Game of the Year. And the reason I think that is because a lot of the people who haven't played 1 and 2 have played 3. So I think that it's an amazing game in its own right. I've always said that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe it's a good Baldur's Gate game. It's just not a Baldur's Gate game. But, you know, I think, you know, when it wins the record for taking home all 5 Game of the Years from the big top 5 award trophy persons, then eventually I have to admit I'm a dickhead. So here it is. I'm a dickhead. I'm a sour puss little dickhead about Baldur's Gate 3.
Yikes.
And that's it. That's all I've got to say about that. So well done to Baldur's Gate. Well done to Larian. I hope in your sequel, which you'll eventually make, you'll play 1 and 2 between then.
Lovely. Best British game. We have Cassette Beasts, Dead Island 2, Disney Illusion Islands, which I still haven't played and really want to. Football Manager 2024, Viewfinder, and Warhammer Age of Sigma, Realms of Ruin. The winner was Viewfinder! Yay!
Josh will be happy as well.
That is a great game.
Seriously, what was Dead Island 2 doing in there, though?
I don't. I mean, it's just filling up numbers in it, really. Just for...
Yeah, that was a proper, like, oh, we need something to get in there. Come on.
Yeah. Debut game, another fantastic category. Cocoon, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Stray Gods, Venba, and Viewfinder. And I went to Venba.
Can't say I played Venba, but I wanted Dave the Diver to win it because it's awesome. But I feel like Venba is also probably very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't had it either.
Venba's in my cart. It's just not bought yet.
I see.
So, but I know that Toby really enjoyed it, didn't he? So.
Yes. Yes, he did. He did indeed. Right. Evolving game. We've got Cyberpunk. We've got Final Fantasy Online. Fortnite. Horizon 5. Genshin Impact. And No Man's Sky. The winner was Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, that redemption arc, man.
I know, right?
It's come a long way.
Can you believe it?
4 years later, they finally got it.
I was really shocked by this, to be honest.
Yeah, it is a bit of an odd, like, a surprising one, but I think the DLC, the fact that it's brought so many people back and the fact that they patched it to a degree where people are raising the game pretty significantly. It's done the No Man's Sky.
It's not an evolving game. It's a fixed game.
Yes, it's the game it should have been at the launch.
There you go. There we are. My boy Fortnite. You'll get it one then, I'm afraid, I promise. best family game. Cocoon. Dave the Diver. Disney's Illusion Island. Hi-Fi Rush. Hogwarts Legacy. And Super Mario Brothers Wonder. You want to take a guess at what won this?
Oh, gee.
Mario.
Super Mario Wonder.
Oh, I wonder.
Yahoo! It's a great game. He was died. Game Beyond Entertainment. We have Chant of Sinnoh, Goodbye Volcano High, T'Chia, Terra Nil, Thirsty Suitors, and Venba. The BAFTA went to T'Chia.
Oh, yeah. T'Chia's a great game. I platinumed it in like a weekend.
It's a lovely game.
It is lovely.
It's a lovely little game. It needed better ukulele mechanics, but that's just me. I wanted to make sweet, sweet music on that ukulele.
Coochie!
Game Design. Cocoon, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, and Viewfinder. The winner was Dave the Diver!
Yes! I love how this is called.
Congrats.
You're singing it exactly how we're now singing it. So.
Yeah.
If they ever do an advertisement, you have to do like voiceover singing. It has to be done. It needs to happen.
People need to buy my music, then, otherwise, I won't be funny to anyone else.
Listen, if you release a Dave the Diver single, I'll purchase 10,000 copies alone.
Let's rewrite the whole song to be about Dave the Diver.
Yep, do it. Do it, man.
Okay, best multiplayer game. We've got Baldur's Gate 3, Modern Warfare 3, Boo! Diablo 4, Forza Motorsport, Party Animals, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. The winner was Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Boo.
Lovely.
Indeed, it should have been Party Animals. But never mind. Never mind. Best music, Alan Wake 2, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Baldur's Gate 3, Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, and Jedi Survivor. The winner was, of course, Baldur's Gate 3.
Seriously, where the fuck is Final Fantasy 16?
I know.
Okay, I'll stop that.
I'll stop.
I'm just mad.
Best narrative, Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Dredge, Final Fantasy 16, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Baldur's Gate 3 took that one as well.
Kelsa Priest.
Yeah, can't really argue with that, I suppose. New IP, we've got Chance of Sinnoh, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Hi-Fi Rush, Dusant, and Viewfinder. Viewfinder won that one too. Well done, Viewfinder.
Well done, Viewfinder.
Yay!
Yeah, very happy with this. Now, this one caused a little bit of interest on the old Twitter, at least on my Twitter. Performance in a leading role. Amelia Tyler as the narrator in Baldur's Gate 3. Cameron Monaghan as Kyle Kestis in Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Najee Jitter as Miles Morales in Spider-Man 2. Neil Newborn as Astarion in Baldur's Gate 3. Samantha Hart as Karloff in Baldur's Gate 3. And Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker in Spider-Man 2. The winner was, of course, Nudgy Jeter, Miles Morales himself in Spider-Man 2.
Fair play. Fair play, Tom.
How do you feel about this?
I feel all right about it. I think his performance was very good in Spider-Man 2, to be fair. And he had some pretty good moments in the story. I do like Yuri. He's kind of like one of the voice actors who's one of my favorite. But I don't begrudge it. I think any of them in this list could have won it, to be fair. I am surprised the Baldur's Gate 3 actor didn't win it. But I think they were all fully deserving of it. So someone's got to win it.
Well, yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 actors had a 75% chance of winning it in this category. So
and yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, well done to Nadia Yuta. I mean, he had to sell that bloody Miles Morales costume at the end of the game, didn't he? So
yikes, yeah, that was great.
I was like, Miles, that was a bad idea, bro. Let's not talk about it. Performance in a supporting role, we have Andrew Wincott as Raphael in Baldur's Gate 3. Deborah Wilson as Ciri Junda in Jedi Survivor. Raoul Finneson as Claudius in Final Fantasy 16. Sam Lake as Alex Casey Donovan Wake 2. Tony Todd as Venom in Spider-Man 2. And Tracy Wiles as Jahira in Baldur's Gate 3. The winner was Andrew Wincott as Raphael in Baldur's Gate 3. Got to be happy with that.
Who was it? Sorry?
Andrew Wincott as Raphael.
Oh, I don't feel like I've met Raphael yet. Hang on.
Okay.
Raphael, Baldur's Gate 3. Let's have a look. Who are you? Yeah, no, I've not met him. Yeah, I don't think.
Oh.
So there you go. There you go. I go. Good for him. Yeah.
Bravo, dude. Well done.
Yeah, fucking work on, dude. So right on. Yeah, no, I've not met him yet. Or if I have, then... but yeah, it's only a couple of... I'm only about 15 or so hours in, and that's because there was one particular fight which took me a fucking lifetime because I kind of soft locked myself a little bit. So yeah,
I see. Fair. And technical achievement, we got Alan Wake 2, Final Fantasy 16, Horizon Call of the Mountain, Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, and Starfield with its only nomination. The winner was Tears of the Kingdom. Over at the old Nintendo. Can't really argue with that, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. Its physics engine was apparently incredible, so that makes sense.
Yeah, fair dude. And finally, the Player's Choice Award, voted for by the general public. Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk, Fortnite, Tears of the Kingdom, Lethal Company, and Spider-Man 2. Baldur's Gate 3 was the winner.
Oh, Cat must have voted so many times in that one.
So many times.
Obviously, so many times.
I'll tell you on this, but Spidey's not getting much in these awards, is he?
I feel like Spider-Man is really unlucky where it always comes out in a year where there's just like the stellar of the stellar games. Because the first one came out in the year of Red Dead 2 and God of War, and that's just unfortunate.
That is unfair. That is unfair. All right, so those are the BAFTA awards. Congratulations to all the winners. Bravo, we'll do it all again next year.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! All right, then. We're going to end on this one. This is quite interesting. A former Blizzard boss suggests players should be able to tip developers after finishing a game. This is from Jordan Middle over at VGC. Former Blizzard president Mike Ybarra has suggested that players should be able to tip developers after completing a game. Speaking on X or Twitter, Ybarra said, quote, "When I beat a game, there were some that just had me in awe of how amazing the experience was. I've often thought, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70 and they didn't try to nickel and dime me every second." Ybarra is quick to point out in the same post that most will dislike the idea and that we are tired of tipping in everything else, but I view this different from a pressure to tip type scenario. Ybarra lists games such as Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War, Red Dead Redemption 2, Baldur's Gate 3, and Elden Ring as examples of games that have made him consider this tipping model. Now, I saw this at first and I was like, yep, I ain't sure about this. But then I started to think about it. I thought, if you love a game that much, that would be a very interesting way to give back to the developers. So, I don't know. What's your thoughts on this? Kat, what do you reckon?
So, I initially read this and this was something that me and Miles actually spoke about, or Miles and I spoke about a couple of years ago. So, Miles once told me, and he'll probably tell you himself, but Miles once told me that sometimes he will purposely buy the DLCs of a game as even if he's not going to play the game, to act as like a tip, to act as like a game that continues to keep going. So when we initially played Fortnite, he was like, I don't mind spending the money. It's Dead by Daylight. He was like, I don't mind spending the money because I play this game. I love this game. And it's a way to keep the game going and to kind of say thank you to the developers. Interestingly as well, if we got a code for review and he really, really liked it, he'd kind of do the same thing as well and be like, do you know what, actually, I got this game, you know, as part of the review agreement, but actually I really like it and I think it deserves a lot more. So on that basis, I think that it can be a really good model. I think as long as it's choice-based, I think there is a culture now where people feel pressured to tip and then you walk the line of like, it feels a bit financial abusey. Like, yeah. We got scolded in New York because apparently a 20% tip was not enough in a taxi. Apparently that's a really, really good tip according to some Americans. Who knows? And I think as long as it was a way that wasn't done in your face, like if it's going to be something that turns into this massive marketing ad, then I don't want it and it feels ick. If it's a kind of like, you know, like when, so like the girl who does the Tomb Raider, Stella Loon, who does the Tomb Raider walkthroughs, there's that thing, isn't there, called Buy Me a Coffee? And that's kind of acts like a tip, and you can just put the link up, and people who use her thing, it's basically nowhere. You can't really see it on her page. I think it's right at the top in like this tiny little box where it says, if you liked these reviews and you appreciated them, you know, feel free to buy me a coffee. And that's kind of all it has to sit at. I think if it started to become part of storefronts or it became part of menu, like main menu in games, I think then we have a little bit of an ick problem. I think if there was something around, like you said, like at the end of the credits or something around like a storefront, something, or, you know, if you wanted to go on a website, I think that would be more than reasonable. I think it just depends on the context and the way that the tip is being advertised, because there are lots of vulnerable people out there. There are a lot of people who, you know, don't or will or may feel that there's a pressure to do that, or that, you know, then it becomes a social thing of, what do you mean you didn't tip them? You're a fucking loser. Oh, you waste time. You know, you're such a waster. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Do I believe that I would tip on an 80 quid game? No, probably not. But for a game that, you know, is an indie game that deserves a lot of praise, something like Dave the Diver, for example, yeah, that deserves a really good tip. You know, there is developers out there crunching their ass off. So yeah, I think that's my 2 pence on it.
I think that's very fair. I like the idea of it kind of at the end of the credits, so maybe like a QR code you can scan or something, you know. I think that's that'd be a cool idea, but not like popping up halfway through a boss fight.
Yeah, like tip me to like fuck this boss fight off, you know.
Buy me a coffee and I'll give you a sword.
Yeah, or like flashing on the main menu. I don't know if I'd love that. If it was like hidden in the options, fine. Because I think as well, like the problem of it being in the credits, maybe you really like the game, but you haven't finished or haven't had the time to finish it. So then you've got to wait to the credits. And how do you do that? So if it was like, you know, not even on the credits, but if it was like hidden in the options of like, you know, like when they do all the copyright stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then tip the developers, follow this link.
Sure.
I don't know. Follow this QR code. Gives people the opportunity to do it and not necessarily have to finish the game.
I like that. Moz, what do you think?
I'm kind of a similar mind in that it's more about how it's done that's important. I, as Kat alluded to, over the last kind of few years, especially since being with Finger Guns, if I do really like a game, I will just purchase a second copy of it, just as like, this is wicked. I got this as part of Finger Guns, which is awesome. And I want to support the devs. And like by Daylight, for example, I've bought all the DLC, every character pack, everything, because I've got, I don't know, 1700 hours in that game. And I'm like, if I'm getting that much game for what I got on PS Plus in 20 something, 18, 17, whenever it was, and that's like my way of being like, cool, this is wicked. And yeah, I've sometimes just bought DLCs for games with no intention of playing them, just because I was like, this is wicked and I want to support it. I did it with Rocket League at the time because I got that on PlayStation Plus as well. So I think like a culture of some players will do things like that. I know some people, especially players on Steam, will gift the game to other people, like their friends or whatever. So I'll pay to gift it to somebody else as like a, I'll purchase a second copy because I don't think like the amount I paid for this was worth how much I got out of it. I think Dave the Diver is, I know we've been talking about it and I've been going on about it, but I think this is a really good example of this where for 17 quid, I would quite happily pay for somebody else to play that just because I got it as a review code. I've had a great time with it. And I think the devs deserve the money towards it because it's so good. I think when you get up to the AAA or as Ubisoft have coined, quadruple A space, I think it gets a little bit more murky. And I don't think I would want this regulated by the industry. I think this needs to be regulated by a like a market authority. You say, okay, this is going to be implemented if developers choose to have it implemented. And I'd want it treated the same way as tips where the money cannot go to the publisher or the CEO or whoever. It has to go just to the developers of the game itself. I can already foresee the problem of this will be A, big corporations will go, great, now you're getting tips for the games and we'll implement that in every game, so we'll just pay you less. And I can already see that happening. We're seeing cutbacks and layoffs and everything else. And it happens in American culture as well of they're paid next to nothing on the basis of, well, the public will tip you and that's where you'll get your money. And that creates that pressured environment that is really quite uncomfortable as people who aren't born and raised in America. So that would be my concern, is that particularly in the AAA space, it's effectively another microtransaction added, not for the benefit of the developers. It would be for the publisher or the organization behind it, who are already raking in millions of pounds on the backs of laying off people and cutting developers. So I'd want it like regulated where that couldn't be the case. And also, like you alluded to, I wouldn't want this happening midway through the game. I wouldn't mind it being on the main menu as like a like a small thing in the corner or whatever. That wouldn't bother me. Or at the end of the game, I think is a nice idea if you finish it and then you want to contribute a bit extra. I wondered a few years ago about just having like a one-off purchase like transaction, which is literally just like a thank you purchase of, you know, they can set it as like £5 or whatever. You can only buy it once just as a thank you to the developers, and that money goes to the developers. And I thought that'd be a really nice way of, like, the Capcom example is a really good one because I love Capcom games and I don't mind paying the full price for their games because they're high quality. But their microtransactions, as we spoke about the other week, are just pointless, or they just feel really egregious because they're so pointless they shouldn't be there. So a system like this where you can tip the devs would actually be a nice way of getting around that, where Capcom can still get more money into their development team without having to, you know, release these post-release microtransactions that people hate having to deal with. So it very much depends on the implementation. For indie games, I think it's a wonderful idea, as long again as it goes to the devs who make the game. But I think when you're asking people to pay £70 for games which are, you know, we've looked at games like Suicide Squad and other, you know, similar examples, and we're already querying, is £70 worth the price of admission in the first place? Should we really be allowing them to ask for even more money? It's like a pressure to thank the devs because they've worked really hard at it. Yeah, I don't know. It feels a bit uncomfortable in that front, especially when game prices have just gone up and, you know, the world is kind of reeling from price, cost of living and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'd like to see it happen because I think the talent in the industry deserves it, but that money needs to go to the talent. I don't want to be paying Bobby Kotick any more money than the man already has stolen from other people. So yeah, that's my kind of view on it, I guess.
No, that's a great point, is the monetization that Ubisoft would be kind of creaming themselves over if they saw the tips hit a particular kind of percentile, I guess. There's a way, but they're getting more in tips than they are in wages. What's going on here?
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, are you telling me you wouldn't want to pay tips on a £170 version of Star Wars Outlaws?
No. It's so funny you said that, because that was the exact example I thought of. I was like, they're like charging these extortionate prices. And like, I know with that game especially, like, they've cut a level out of the full release for people who just pay more. Like, the level is in the game. You literally are just paying extra to unlock a level that's already built. And then they're going to be like, oh, do you want to tip the developer? No, no, I don't, Ubisoft. You tip your developers. You should be doing. Yeah. So, yeah, it wouldn't feel very nice there.
Yeah, there's a Jabba the Hutt level, I think, that's been cut out of Outlaws. But you can play it if you buy the £110 edition.
Which, everything else in that edition is nonsense. Like, none of the rest of the content is worth probably a fiver.
Yeah, it's all season passes and just cosmetics and things like that. I mean, I kind of, it's not the first time this has ever happened, but it's like,
no, it's not.
It's still a practice that you know, the industry should have buried a long time ago. Methinks. Because yeah, we'll get access to it in the end, you know. But it's, yeah, it is an interesting thing. You're right. It needs to kind of stay out of the hands of AAA publishers, I think. I think that's very important. Unless it's being regulated by someone that actually kind of knows how to navigate it correctly, like you said, and how to make sure and ensure that the money goes to the right people. But as we've seen in the industry the last couple of years, you know, that just seldom happens, if ever. And it's just a real, it's a real shame, because it is, like, yeah, you said you guys have had so much fun playing Dave the Diver this week, and, you know, it would be nice to sort of, like, tip the visual artist number two, just get him a coffee and go, thanks, man, what, your work was awesome. You know, that would be really cool, to actually just, like, maybe go individually, or kind of add them, or add it kind of like a massive kissy that gets divided up by the teams. So yeah, it's an idea, but of course it has its issues, which is something that the industry could work on or could not, you know. But again, it's an idea. It's not something that's actually going to happen yet. But it's interesting, because, you know, we always want to pay more love and respect to the developers, because they're the ones that are working their asses off to make these things that we love so much, and they deserve our praise and credit. And yeah, it would be nice to, in some way, give something back to them without just being able to go on Twitter and say, hey, man, I really enjoyed your game. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. We're going to keep an eye on that, see if that ever actually bears any fruit as an idea, because it could be interesting to see where it goes. All right, then, let's get into our recommendations. This is where we find something throughout the week that we want to share with you, our loyal listener, whether it be a game, a TV show, a movie, a comic book, a shirt, or a light ring. I don't know, I'm looking at things in my flat. Kat, would you like to go first? What was your recommendation?
Go on then.
Go on then.
Go on then. So my recommendation is something on Netflix for all those people who love true crime. This is called The Octopus Murders. This is essentially, if you like true crime, it's maybe not as like Americanized as like American takes on true crime is, but it is still very, very good. So essentially it follows the, I guess, it's really hard to explain because, as you can tell, the word octopus means that it has lots of different like legs to it. Yeah. But it is essentially like about a journalist who started to look into this very, I guess, unambiguous deal where, you know, like how we have databases now, essentially, where we can like look up a name and we can, well, and it can be there. So America's law found, this is not, I promise you it's not going to be a long story. America's law, like this was invented in America, however long ago, like 20 years ago or whatever, when the computers were pretty new, and it got sold, and this guy was like trying to sell it to like courtrooms and the government, et cetera, et cetera. And the government wanted to buy off of him, the US government. And he was like, this guy was kind of like, no, fuck off. This is a lot of money and I've invented it and it's amazing. And for some reason then, the US government happened to make this guy go bankrupt. And this journalist, a completely separate journalist, starts to look into the reasons why the government was so interested in this database. But what ends up transpiring is all of these like legs where it starts to involve the presidency of the United States, the CIA, the FBI, Interpol, like all of this like really strange stuff. And as he starts writing this like book, because he just finds more and more stuff out, he starts to become more and more, I guess, known. And a lot of people are then trying to ring him and be like, you know, you need to drop this. Like, I don't know what you're trying to find out, but you need to let this fucking go. He finds out that people were like murdered on the sly. There's stuff about President Reagan. Anyway, he ends up telling his brother at a children's birthday party, just to let you know, I'm having a lot of weird calls lately. If I end up dead and they try and say it's an accident, it wasn't me. Well, 2 weeks later, he apparently commits suicide in his bath.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And it kind of follows that. So then this whole new journalist is investigating him and what happened to him, and what, like, what was he trying to find out so desperately that got him killed? Because lots of the police and the, so like, there's like, there's a really shady shit that happens naturally in America, because America, where like he had like a post-mortem that day and was like cremated that day, like hours before they told the family that he was found dead. Like shady shit like that, where now they can never prove that he was murdered. So yeah, it's really interesting. It's only a 4-part series. It's called The Octopus Murders. I've made it maybe sound a little bit boring. It is a little bit like I had to think. It's not one of those that you
Oh
like,
god,
watch.
No.
I know, right? It was hard work. It gave me a bigger headache than I already continuously have. So it's not one of those where you can like, I don't know, slurp a slushy and get brain freeze and, you know, watch this like really mindless thing. It does take a little bit of like, right, so then he found that out, and who's that person? That person is that person, and why do we care about them? Oh, because they're part of the thing that he found out the other day, right? And it's a little bit like that. So if you are interested in that kind of side to it, it's all investigative. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, but it's maybe not for everyone, but I did, so I'd recommend it.
All right. The Octopus Murder is available now on Netflix. Sounds good to me. Miles Thompson, what do you recommend?
I've got two recommendations.
For goodness sake.
One of them is Cat's Banana Bread. It's fucking amazing.
Cat's Banana Bread.
Yeah, just had to shout it out. Cat, top baker. Amazing. And then my other recommendation is I also made Kat watch Interstellar this weekend, because after going to that concert last week and hearing the music, I was like, I need to watch this movie again. And we watched it on Saturday. Kat asked me, would it make me cry? And I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't remember it being that sad. It's just really cool as a movie. Both cried.
Oh, of course.
I totally forgot how emotional the actual movie actually is. So
emotional?
Oh.
The thing's fucking devastating.
Yeah, I kind of forgot the whole devastating part. I think I was at uni at the time, so I was kind of like emotionally blunted. Maybe I was hungover when I watched it, but God, the music, man. The music.
Oh, the piano.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
How does he do it?
And the cinematography is actually incredible. Like, I don't really think I appreciate the movie so much, and I appreciate it 20 times more now.
It is Chris Nolan, bro.
I know. At the time, I just don't think I got it. Like, university me didn't appreciate the finer things in life, apparently.
That's really cool. Interstellar is a wonderful film.
It's incredible.
A lot of people I know went to see Oppenheimer, and they were just, like, shocked when I told them, oh, same guy that did The Dark Knight. They were like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to go into his back. You've, like, his back catalogue is insane. It's like, Inception?
Yeah,
and Inception. The Prestige.
Tenet as well.
Tenet and Memento is amazing as well. He's good, that Nolan. He's good.
Yeah, the guy makes great movies.
He does. He's all right at what he does, to be
and
fair.
And he always hires Hans Zimmer to do his scores for him, so the music always slaps.
So why not? You know? Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant recommendation.
Thank you, mate. What are yours?
Mine? Mine is the latest batch of Lego Star Wars figures.
Oh my God, do it. Do it.
Today, they announced their May the 4th line of this year. And holy crap on a cracker. They've only got bloody pod racing in there, Miles.
Now this is pod racing.
It is absolutely stunning. Anakin is in there in his little pod. Oh, it's so good.
Does the little doohickey thing that gets stuck on his ship, does that like fly off and everything as well? I hope so.
I mean, you can only hope so.
I mean, I feel like that is a feature that is a must.
I went to look at it closely and there's a quote on there from Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh my God, stop it.
Remember, concentrate on the moment. Feel, don't think. Use your instincts.
That actually wasn't too far off, you know? That was pretty good.
Oh, it's Liam Neeson, isn't it? You know, it's nice and terrible. It's like years of trying to perfect the Taken speech.
Yeah, to be fair, it's iconic. So practice well spent.
Yeah, they've got a brand new Millennium Falcon that's coming out, which is not £750. Thank the Lord.
God damn.
It's £75, which looks like a bargain compared to the actual one that they've got. They've got an interceptor now for £200 and it looks fucking sick.
Oh, man.
They've got an RTD2, which is just like a damn near full size. I think it's not a full size RTD2, but it might as well be. It's cool enough. They've got droidekas now, clone troopers. Oh, my God. I can only buy one thing. I'm definitely going to buy the fucking Anakin. I have to.
Is it going next to your tall neck?
I was going to sit beautifully next to my tall neck and my and my office US diorama as well.
Oh, wonderful.
And my Night in the Woods diorama.
You're just living the dream.
I really am. Oh, wow. Yeah, I just realized things are really good right now. My God.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
My God, life is so great. This is awesome.
Just wait until the day the Diver single hits and you go viral on everything.
Oh man, I'm gonna make so much dollar. No, wait, I'm gonna give it back to the Diver devs. I think
split it 50-50.
I'll take a cut. Jesus, I'm not, yeah, not a monster. You know, but yeah, this is all available on May the 1st. But you didn't hear that from me because I don't want you buying it before I do. Okay, don't want you be sent or getting it all sold out before I get a chance to go buy it. So. But yeah, it's all out on May the 1st. And it looks great. Go to lego.com/Star Wars if you want to see the whole collection because there's some really awesome stuff in there. So yeah, that's my recommendation, I suppose. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that do be the end of the podcast. And a short one this week, but we're getting ourselves very, very hyped for episode 250, which is next freaking week. It's going live on Tuesday, the 23rd of April. And I can now confirm our boy Ethan Lawrence will be joining us next week.
Yes.
I can
confirm our boy, Chris frickin' Scullion, will be joining us next week.
Yes.
And I can confirm one other guest will be joining us next week. Not the two like I had planned, but one.
That all counts. It all counts.
But yeah, I'm so excited. So do stick around for next week because it's going to be an absolute mother fudging banger. But until then, thank you all very much indeed for listening. Don't forget, if you want to follow, you can follow us absolutely everywhere. Just go to the link tree in the description below to find us in all the places. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at FNGRGNS. All of our individual handles are in the description below, except for Miles, of course, who's smart and not on Twitter. If you really like what we do, why not follow our Patreon for $1 a month? You can keep this podcast live on its podcast hosting services and keep the website nice and shiny. And of course, if you are a Spotify or Apple user, why not leave us a review? We do like reviews. Give us 5 stars if you love us. Give us 5 stars if you don't. What does it matter to you? It matters an awful lot to us. It keeps us in the discoverability of video game podcasts and keeps us front and center in those search engines. So thank you very much indeed. If you haven't already done so, I know some of you have, and it's been very, very kind. Thank you very much indeed. But we want to get more and more and more, especially for next week, because it's going to be a banger. But until then, Miles Thompson, I will see you at 250.
I will see you at 250, Roscoe, with the mammoth of all quizzes.
Kat, I will see you at 250.
I'll see you at 250, sir.
Oh, hell yeah. My friends, we'll see you next week. It's going to be off the fucking chain. My name's Roscoe. See you next time on the Finger Guns Podcast.